saw Alibaba pop out on the show about 3 years ago. If you have a financial situation, though, Gregory's right. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the Gregory Rixon Associates app. I want to start, though, Caterpillar. Facing a lot of the same problems others of us have faced. It looks a little different. I got a certified letter in the mail. They got raided at three of their facilities, but it's all based on the same thing. A little miscommunication, possibly, on what taxes are owed where. Is it really that simple? It just looks more complicated because we're talking about a multinational corporation, Gregory? Or is this really just this how IRS handles tax issues?
Well, they didn't call or email, did they?
They don't do that. We've established that before.
They're going to mail you something. And I wonder if, like, Kat had gotten some mail over the months and kind of ignored it. That is a giant company. Most Fortune 500 companies have a tax department. They probably have a team of accountants, CPAs, tax attorneys working for them to handle this. I know people that work for Fortune 500 companies in those roles, and these giant companies that are across the country doing business do not take taxes lightly, whether it's under, overpaying, whatever. They're all over it, and I don't think this came as a surprise, because I guarantee you that Caterpillar has a team like that that is always working that. And it's always an ongoing situation to where, yeah, they get letters in the mail from the IRS and stuff that they've got to deal with. And doesn't mean that they're all on the same page, but this one was heightened. And it shouldn't come as a surprise. Yeah, Cat stock is down 5% aftermarket, but this has probably been going on a long time. And there's other companies that they always have something going on back and forth. It just doesn't make the news. They work through it, get it resolved, or it's an ongoing battle. And it's something I've seen, so it's not a surprise, but, you know, it's going to hurt investors.
I'm interested in this raid. So when they say the IRS raided, I don't know if that means it's like your normal SWAT team where the guys come in looking like the androids from G.I. Joe and they throw in the flashbang grenade and they kick the door in and they get everyone on the ground and they got the little flashlight on the end of their gun. Or is it a bunch of guys walking up with suits and a couple of them have briefcases and they have on the real generic looking sunglasses and they're like, we're going to need to see your general ledger.
They have the polyester windbreaker on with says IRS on the back or something like, yeah, kind of the official thing, and they have some documents and we're here to collect files.
It sounds like a paramilitary event though when they call it a raid.
Yeah, a Swiss parts subsidiary, Caterpillar SRL or CSARL. Spokesman with U.S. Attorney's Office, Central District of Illinois, confirmed that federal law enforcement officials conducted searches at locations. They probably removed computers and files and
okay.
Such. It's about 4.25% off aftermarket. It'll probably down some more tomorrow. But it's just, look, these big companies, this is all ongoing. This made the news and kind of a little uglier, but it's not uncommon for this to be going on behind the scenes with major companies.
All right, so it's not really a raid in the sense like, I don't know, the drug war. This is just an audit, right? These nerds came in and they started going through accounts receivable or something, right?
Yeah, this isn't like a Bernie Madoff raid. But IRS obviously thinks here it is, IRS seeks $2 billion. Caterpillar is fighting an Internal Revenue Service demand that the company pay $2 billion in taxes and penalties for profits assigned to its Swiss parts distribution subsidiary. I don't know. Trump might have called, picked up this phone this afternoon hours. What is going on?
Yeah, that is kind of weird because he's a real estate mogul who probably does a lot of business with Caterpillar, or maybe he has buddies over at Komatsu, or I don't know who else would compete with them. I'm sure that's not it, though. I'm sure that's not like a personal vendetta thing. It's just the same thing they did to you, same thing they did to me. That every once in a while, they just send you a letter. Hey, we think we found an excuse to get more money out of you, is what it sounds like to me. And so for me, they
well,
were...
Well, they got some money I didn't want to pay them out of it, but, you know, what can you do? I don't have a division like Cat or other Fortune 5 companies. Well, this didn't go too well for Cat, as it turned out. Anyhow, they're not wanting to fork over $2 billion, but yeah, I had to fork over some money I didn't want to, and it was because of a CPA that was handling stuff for me, didn't do what they were supposed to. Whose name's on the tax return? Whose Social Security? Mine. So, well, he screwed up. Well, that's still too bad. You got to pay.
Yeah, see if he'll pay for it.
So I just wrote the check. I'll figure it out later. $2 billion, that's a big check to write to figure it out later.
Well, I've heard of businesses going down because of tax reasons. I have heard of businesses having declared bankruptcy and liquidating, and it all gets leaned over to taxes. Caterpillar's not at risk of that, though, right? That doesn't happen to giant multinational corporations that they get caught up in a tax scandal and die a slow death.
Yeah, the subsidiary is also the subject of a 2014 Senate committee report that concluded Caterpillar shifted billions in profits abroad and had $2.4 billion in taxes deferred or avoided from 2012. How's this? They've got a subsidiary. It handles parts in another country. They mark them up, sell them. They leave the money over there. I don't see how that's so different from, not to name companies, but we know there's a lot of companies with large money overseas. Parts are made elsewhere, put together somewhere else, then sold, and the money stays outside of here. So, I don't know. Maybe Cat was sloppy, or they're the one they're going to make the example out of. I don't know. It's just... interesting.
We'll keep an eye on that. The other big story of the day was Snap Inc. did their IPO. That's the parent company of Snapchat. I was interested in this when they filed their paperwork, and we talked about it on the show, I guess, about a month ago, maybe 2 months, month and a half ago. Remember, Snap, what are they? They're not a social media company. They're not a tech company. They're not a communication company. What are they? They define themselves as a camera company. Do they sell a camera yet, Gregory? I didn't see if there was any offerings of selling of cameras by Snap Inc.
No, they use somebody else's cameras.
Anyone else's cameras.
Any camera.
All right, so the tech IPO market's been kind of slow lately. 2016 had the lowest number of IPOs since the recession had ended in 2009. The worst returns in the tech market since 2003. And Snap was looking to break that. Snap had a nice little pop today, ended up with a closing valuation of more than $28 billion. So that looks good. I'm in this little issue here of Snap's not making money, and they don't even have a pathway forward that looks like they're going to make money. People are diving all over this. I understand if you looked at Facebook or you looked at some of these other IPOs, that could give you a reason to be happy, but you're having to look over some of the other IPOs that didn't go so well, i.e. Twitter.
There's a chart I have here, Facebook versus Snap. Revenue per daily active user, Facebook is $22.52.
That's way higher than I thought.
Snap is $2.56.
That still might be higher than I thought.
Earnings per daily user, Facebook is $8.33.
What?
Snap is losing $3.26 per user. I'd be careful on this. We had clients wanting to buy Snap today. And, yeah, it bounced. Didn't Facebook on the initial offering? Look, Facebook.
Yes.
It doesn't mean Snap can't figure out how to make some money. But Facebook turned out to be having that problem, too. But they figured it out pretty darn quick and turned everything around. You know, let's see. What's another big IPO that's failed? We got one of those cameras in here.
Yeah, GoPro.
Yeah, their stock has done nothing but tank. I guess because everybody already has a camera. It's like, darn, why do I need that? Can I just put a tripod hanging off my helmet and I'm filming myself skiing with my iPhone or Android or whatever?
All right, so Snapchat, best of luck to you. Is there anything about the IPO only including non-voting shares?
That was interesting.
A little suspicious, though, isn't it? Because the governance structure is staying intact. Well, then what are you selling then if not actual ownership, stakeholding ownership in the country? You're just country in the company. You're just coming up with a bunch of silent partners. That's not the normal run of things. So, but that also, that seems like a hurdle, like a little veil of secrecy. It's not making money. You don't know how it's going to make money in the future. They're asking you to invest money in it, but then they're going to give you absolutely zero control over what happens with your money once you hand it over to them. All that looks like a big bunch of negatives to me, Gregory. I'm not too happy about or excited about jumping on this one.
No, it's better to kind of stay away and see how things shake out. It's not about today or next week. It's about what it looks like 90 days from now.
Well, Uber might be next. They were watching today. That'll be pretty cool, too. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome back. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. The phone number, 504-260-0995. Sorry about that. Bayou Jerry's over here on the Periscope. If you want to find us, Periscope or Twitter, it's the same, at Gregory Ricks. Come see our handsome visage. Bayou Jerry wants to know, early distribution out of IRA, taking money out to pay taxes, is that tax exempt? You want me to just hand you my phone here? Because that's that wording specific kind of question.
Taking money out to pay taxes out of an IRA on early distribution, it's a compounding thing. Yeah, you're going to be taxed on what you're taking out to pay taxes. It's a distribution. No matter what it's for, it's money coming out. That's why when somebody says, well, maybe I can take my 401k to pay to buy this house, that is going to be an expensive house because, say, okay, the house is $200,000. Well, then it's probably costing you $300,000 because you're hitting max tax bracket on your AGI and you're paying penalties if it's an early distribution. Oh, there's state tax as well. They get it as well. So you're having to take out $300,000 and you're buying the house for $200,000. So you were also taxed on that extra $100,000 you're taking. So it creates a compounding effect that makes it ridiculously expensive.
So yes, Bayou Jerry, that is a yes. They will tax you on the money you take out to pay taxes. They do not care. Ask Caterpillar how much they care. How many cares they give.
They
Zero.
Don't care.
None. No cares were given today by the IRS today, Bayou Jerry, and they're not going to start with you. Stock market's highly overvalued, according to a lot of people you read in the financial media. Questions? You're welcome. Thank you for asking, by the way, Bayou Jerry. He just said thank you for answering, Gregory. When we say it's highly overvalued, a lot of the people who are talking about technicals are talking about the P.E. ratio, price-to-earnings ratio. The long-term price-to-earnings ratio for the S&P 500 has been about 15. As of earlier this week, it got to 26.5. That's more than 75% higher than the long-term average. And it's only been the only time the average stock PE was above 26.5, and we're almost there, was three times. You want to hear about this little rundown?
Yeah.
Price per earnings. Do we need to? Everyone knows what that means, right? The price of stock versus how much the money's bring, how much money the company's bringing in per share.
Yeah, we're at. So we talked about it a few weeks ago. Some of the levels compared to 10 years ago, or the Great Recession, or 2002 downturn.
Okay, so the price per earnings ratio has only been above 26.5 three times. Number one, you might not remember this. This is a little before your time, Gregory. The panic of 1893. The old panic of 1893.
Yeah, wasn't around for that one.
I missed that one. I think my grandma missed that one, too. The second one, you do remember this one. It was right before the 2000.com crash, or right around the 2000.com crash. Remember that one? So when was the third one, Gregory? The panic of 1893, the 2000.com crash. There's one more.
Yeah, 2008.
Exactly, 2008, the financial collapse. So two of the three times we've done it, it's been in the last 17 years, 18 years, and we're about to do it again. Talk about not learning your lesson. We're running right back into this. We did it in 2000, and then we did it again 9 years later in 2008. We're about to do it years later in 2017.
But remember, when you put that word in, it kind of changes everything.
Everything you said before is going to get discounted, right?
But this administration wants to cut taxes. So what would that lower?
The price per earnings ratio?
It'd give more earnings.
Right.
And so it's going to change that number.
The denominator would get
bigger. So it wouldn't be such a high. We won't be at 26 times. Think about it. That is a change. So up it will go more.
I don't know, man. I'm not. That's way optimistic. We're not even going to get that bill passed until this summer, and then it's not going to take effect.
Okay.
Until next year.
What day is it today? Oh, March 2nd. June is how far away? Less than 90 days. You're acting like it's years. Oh, it'll be 2019 before they get that passed.
Well, no, look, it's
retroactive January 1. It changes the price to earnings.
We can get
market
that,
goes up.
We can get that price to earnings to 27 in 90 days.
I think that's where we're headed.
Okay.
It's 27.
All right. Well, I think we totally agree on this.
Okay. Good.
Well, look, the earnings.
Being we do a show together.
The earnings are going to have to show up in the GDP at some point. 11 straight years not 3%.
Well, we talked about this the other day is. We've never had that expansion breakout, that growth, and that GDP since the Great Recession. We've had the look, when we were at 26 times last time, 2007, 2008, we didn't have, and there was no help in getting the market to that point. But has there been help since? Yeah. Zero interest rates, Fed printing money, buybacks like crazy.
The total destruction of CDs and bonds and savings accounts.
And money has to go to the market to make money. So, yeah, this is a whole different environment, and this is pushed there because you can't get yield elsewhere. And the game changer, once again, they're going to cut tax rates for corporations. Big and small.
But if the stock market keeps going up, I mean, they're going to have to really get them earnings up to keep that PE ratio under 27.
Well, if you're cutting taxes in half, that's more that stays in the firm. Even Caterpillar will like that.
All right, Gregory.
They might do a settlement. Look, we'll move the money over if you make this go away. Or otherwise, we'll just keep it parked overseas and make tractors elsewhere.
You can come sue us in Switzerland?
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Isn't that where it was?
I just throw it out. Yeah. That's where the parts subsidiary is.
Hey, I had mentioned this one to you. I'm sorry. I'm kind of in a hurry here. I want to get through my stack. I had mentioned this to you yesterday, but we didn't get to talk about it in earnest. If you have a desk job, it increases the risk of heart disease. Remember how we just kind of touched on that for a little bit yesterday?
And I don't have a desk job.
You know, that's right. You used to have an office in your little complex.
Oh, I had a nice office. And how much money did I make in there? None. And what's in it? I've got two other people working in that, and I've got file cabinets and such in there. You know, I do. In my office all the time. My office space all the time. I don't have an office there.
You know what I've noticed about that? Not having a place to work actually causes you to be working the entire time because you don't have a place to rest. You're going to go stand over someone's desk. If you're not working with them or helping them or doing something, they're going to be like, what are you doing here? You're just staring at me. Stop. You're just breathing on me. Get out of here.
Of all places, if I want to get away and hide a few minutes, I go to accounting.
Why accounting? Why not the break
room? Oh, it's kind of like in the back, and they don't necessarily look for me there, but they've caught on.
It's like the dead end of the office.
Yeah.
All right. So if you were still more sedentary, because I guarantee I spend most of my day on my butt, you know what you would need to walk? How many miles would you have to walk per day to compensate for having a desk job?
How many miles? Three. I'll put it at three.
Man, it is seven.
No.
Yes. If you spend the majority of your time at work sitting down, your risk of heart disease goes up versus people who walk. And one of the studies they did on this is incredible, and there's the other studies that back it up, but one of the ones they reference here was they went to a big post office. So everyone, basically the same hiring qualifications, same socioeconomic standing, same standard of living. You know, you solve for most variables if everyone's in a similar workplace. And then they did tests on the guys that had to walk and deliver the mail, you know, the mail carriers, and the guys that just sat there working at a desk, whether it was a manager. And then they also had the people who worked at the front desk because they stand all day, but they're not walking around. So they were kind of the control group. So using those people as the middle ground. Gregory, I'm not walking 7 miles a day. I'm going to have to die of a heart attack, apparently. There's no cancer for me. Give me the heart attack. That breaks down 15,000 steps.
Well, that's why people are counting the steps, have the little wristbands, the iPhone watch or
Fitbit.
Yeah, but what's that? iPhone's Apple's watch.
Oh, Apple Watch. They do it too?
Yeah. They do it too.
What's the average person's steps a day? Average steps per day. Oh, no. By country? Do I even want to know what this is? Let me guess. We're fatty fats. I got it. Okay. Americans took an average of 5,117 steps. So we're only one third of the way there. The average American only walks, I guess, what, 2 miles and some change a day? Western Australia has a big one. Why Western Australia? Why would y'all even delineate between the two? 9,695 steps. Japan's over 7,000 steps. All right. You know why? Because we can afford cars. How about that? Because we don't have to walk to a subway in Tokyo or wherever you guys are. That's luxury is what that is. That's not sloth. That's wealth. That's prosperity. Sorry for the bad news, Gregory. We're just going to get heart disease because we don't walk enough. 504-260-0995. We'll go down numbers. If you have a financial situation, we'd love to help you out. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'd have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Back to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. To jump in, if you got any comments, you may have a comment on this next topic. We're going to talk a little salary cap coming up. 504-260-0995. Our next live event coming up now, officially less than 2 weeks away. It's going to be March 15th. That's a Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Come on down. Meet the crew. If you've been looking for a financial advisor, maybe someone to handle your money, maybe a second opinion, maybe you're moving on from the guy who used to handle your money. Are you thinking about it? Maybe you just want to, you know, play the field, see what's out there. Come on out. March 15th, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Reserve your seat, though. You can't just show up. Call the office, 504-832-9200. Get the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go to gregoryricks.com. Saints had two very disappointing seasons in a row, and we've been on the forefront of it here on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, because this being a financial show, we recognize what their main problem was. It was finances.
Dead cap space, past 2 years.
All right, and they didn't do a whole lot to resolve it, but luckily in the offseason, every year, the NFL ups the salary cap. So this year, they decided we're going to raise it to $167 million. That's a $12 million raise over last season. Last season, the cap, $155 million. You figure you could put together a decent team for $155 million. Well, let's try $167 million. Now, most NFL teams are heading into free agency with a little bit of cap space. But the when you list them out, now we start to learn where the Saints, what was their dead cap space last year? 43 mil
like
in dead
40
cap.
Million. So how do you, you can't win football games when you can't have players. I don't know. They're, with the cap increase and gives them another five, they've got, who is it? They cut Jarius Byrd. We'll give him as much as $7.8 million. He's designated as a June 1 cut. So when you get to the summers where these numbers start balancing out, but they're going to have more money than they've had in recent years. So it's a positive thing. Maybe they pick up some defensive players or something.
Let me
don't give out bonuses, giant bonuses. Then you're going to trade the fella afterwards
him. Yep, then you got to eat it.
Gosh.
Okay, so here's the interesting part. Name, just randomly throw out the names of four or five of the worst teams in the NFL. Just, I mean, not even this year, but this year and maybe last year. The last couple of years combined. Who I mean, everyone knows who the worst
Cleveland,
is.
Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
Cleveland, San Francisco.
Okay. Who else just perennially, just horrible all the
Jacksonville
time?
Jacksonville is... They may be worse than Cleveland. I don't know. It's pretty bad when you go to those two.
Let me stop you right now while you're just nailing it. The team with the number one most cap space going into the free agency is Cleveland. Number two would be the 49ers, and number three would be the Jaguars. You just named them in order. And you don't have the list over there, do you?
I do not.
Okay, so now...
I actually looked, and there was... I don't have the information, but I was actually good to see San Francisco... is not committed to keeping that kneeling quarterback, Kaepernick.
I heard he's the one who opted out of his contract.
He is missing marbles, a bunch of them.
No. I think he woke up. He must have broke up with that crazy girlfriend he had, because he said he's not kneeling this year. He's gonna, whatever team takes him, he's going to stand for him. It's like, well, you may not be in the NFL. You may be standing at a car wash toweling off my truck.
He might have done himself in. They're going to cut him, and who else would want to pick him up? Let's see.
Not the Patriots, huh? Get it, Patriots?
To run a college offense? No. There's only a few coaches that could – plus they wouldn't want to deal with him, but he doesn't fit into – you think he'd work into New Orleans Saints offense? No.
No, not at all, no. Bad fit.
Bad fit for most teams.
I mean, the only offenses he would really fit in, they already got an awesome quarterback.
Well, didn't they have Kelly, which run that type of offense, but they fired him. Well, Harbaugh, you know, he's really a college coach. And
he is now.
And, but, yeah, good luck with that kneeling.
All right, so check this out. The numbers on this are staggering. The salary cap's $167 million. All right, but we haven't got that yet. Let's just these numbers here are for last year's salary cap. $155.27 million is what they were looking at. You know how much empty space the Browns have? $102 million. What, did they cut everybody? I realize you guys don't have any superstars on your team to be sucking up big contracts, but
no wonder they. Jeez, them.
Yeah, no wonder they're so bad.
They got nobody.
Exactly. But they've got money to spend. Who wants to go to Cleveland?
I'd like to see who they've spent the $60 million on. I hope it's players that are actually salaried that's there. Yeah, they have a chance to turn around, but who wants to play there? What about Jacksonville? What's their number?
Oh, it comes way, way down after the Browns. Number two in free cap space is the 49ers. They're at $76 million. Well, actually 77, 76.9. And the Jaguars are at $71 million. So it is a gigantic drop-off from first place to second.
Darn, Cleveland, if they had some good management, they could turn it. This should be something that could turn around in a couple years. Draft good, and you can sign players.
They have the exact opposite issue the Patriots have.
Well, Patriots want to come there, and who wants to go to Cleveland?
No, you have to way overpay to get anyone to go there is what you would have to do. Tony Romo right now would not go to Cleveland. He's like, I'll hold a clipboard for this little 22-year-old.
Everybody has their number.
Their Cleveland number when you're 38
you
and you're
$40 million a season to go there.
Not when your back's made of paper mache, Gregory, and you know you're going to be on it.
He would be hit every play.
All right, now here's where it starts to get a little more interesting. Okay, so total doormat teams at the top: Browns have the most cap space, 49ers, Jaguars, followed by the Buccaneers, also not a stellar team, Titans, still pretty bad, but not doormat status. But look who shows up at sixth place. This makes you want to slit your wrist, Gregory, and just bleed out in the bathroom. The Patriots. The Patriots have the sixth most cap space going into free agency. They just won the Super Bowl, and there's only five teams in a better.
So what's their number?
They have $59.5 million in open cap space.
You're kidding.
And they just won the Super Bowl, and they have all this money to go out and better themselves. And they're not going to blow a bunch of money on a high draft pick because they're drafting at the tail end of the first round.
Yeah, they don't never mess that up, and they have money to get players every year. And they don't overpay. It's kind of, oh, we got these superstar receivers. Yeah, we don't need them. We'll get some more.
I need to know nothing else. Guess who's the front runner to win the Super Bowl next year?
Patriots.
No kidding.
That's a big reason right there.
And if you want to see why I am so floored by this, Gregory, you can already guess. The other team that was in the Super Bowl, guess where they're at on this list?
Very far down.
They're in the bottom one, two, three. They're in the bottom eight. They're eighth worst, but they're all bunched together kind of at the end. They have $17.8 million in open cap space. Patriots, $59.5 million, $60 million.
Wow.
All right. Our Saints, where are we at now? Doing a little better. $27 million and some change in open cap space. Now, all these numbers are going to change a little bit, but at least we have some cap space, right? We could sign someone. If it makes you feel any better, there's only a handful of teams. There's only, I should say, four teams that have under $10 million in cap space. And this is the fun part. Guess which team has the least amount of cap space with $3.3 million cash on hand to spend in the free agents bonanza offseason? $3.3 mil. Come on. What's the team? Come on.
Dallas.
There you go. Yes, it's Dallas. All right, the Cowboys. We've got nothing. That's my team, and they're going nowhere. We've got nothing to look forward to. We have peaked.
But how much will be freed up when they trade Romo?
I'm ready to shoot Romo out of a cannon like Evel Knievel, and just wherever he lands, that's where he's playing.
$10 million, that would help you need a couple players.
I think he's like a $20 million cap hit. I think he's like $13 million salary and $7 million in restructured bonus.
You say he may hurt you more?
Well, no. Look, even if we get rid of him, I think we have to eat that $7 million.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but we've got to get rid of that other $13 million. We've got nothing. We've got $3 million to play with. We're not going to be able to sign our draft picks, Gregory. What are we going to do?
I know I don't bet on football, but I sure wouldn't bet on the Cowboys to win it all.
Well,
they could make it with the tandem they have, but Patriots are going to be tough to beat in Super Bowl because they're going back.
Well, I tell you what, who else this looks good for? Let's go down the top 10 list again. Browns, 49ers, Jaguars, Buccaneers, Titans. Then here's a good team, the Patriots. Then Colts, not bad. Bears, absolutely god-awful. And then another team that far overperformed what I expect them to do this year, the Raiders, followed by the Broncos. So there are some people who are going to be able to take this to the next step. But financially speaking, the Saints are in a better financial position to put together a roster this season than they have been in a while. So good luck, guys. I'm still betting on the Patriots, though. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome back to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. You're home away from the show. GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. If you're going to get your digital inquiry in, you got to do it now. Gregory's checking the inbox for the last time. If not, forever hold your peace. Or we're doing another show tomorrow. Either one, it's up to you. A couple of foreign policy looks in the financial world that I think are worth a note. One of them does not affect your pocketbook in the least. We'll do that one first. Venezuela's down to its last $10 billion, Gregory. And by $10 billion, I don't mean whatever garbage that they're printing and shuffling inside of the borders of Venezuela. Long ago, the outside world has stopped accepting the Venezuelan peso because it's worth about as much as this little thing of Kleenex right here, Gregory.
Could they be like $10 billion? Well, then we're forced to switch from socialism to capitalism. Maybe they need a change. Have they thought about a change, that this has gone the wrong way for a decade or so?
What in the history of human civilization has a bad leader ever voluntarily stepped down and said, my bad? No. They always have to go down in flames.
Well,
or get
the leader that
somewhere.
Set him on the course, he's dead. Now his kids are running it, and it's even worse.
All right, so Venezuela can take care of itself within its borders just fine as far as money goes. They've killed their currency, but they'll just print more if they run out. It doesn't matter anyway. But to import anything from outside the country, they've been having to rely on foreign reserves. They're down to $10 billion in foreign currencies. They have $7.2 billion in outstanding debt payments to creditors outside of the country. So really, they're going to be operating for the rest of the year on a little less than $3 billion. What could possibly go wrong? That's all the money they have to import everything public sector related.
Everything's going to go wrong. It's just horrible for those people. And I don't know. Citizens, they don't care. March in the streets.
I mean, don't care, don't have a choice. They march in the streets and then they ended up getting a couple bullet holes shot at them like it's Iran. So they said, okay, well, we'll just go look for toilet paper then. This is one of the horrible problems that happened when the price of oil got halved in 2014. You know, Venezuela was already on a collision course with math. This just sped up the process, and instead of it taking 10 years, they've now, it looks like it's going to take about 3.5, maybe 4 years total for the absolute collapse to happen. Hang on, just real quick, the target inflation rate, as defined by Janet Yellen, what do they try and aim for every year? About what percentage of inflation?
3.
Yeah, 2 to 3% would be a pretty heavy year. In Venezuela, the inflation is expected to rise just this year 1,660%. And the projections for 2018, I don't even know why you're trying to do this, 2,880% is the inflation rate. This is one of those countries where the price of a meal changes before you're done eating it. We've heard those stories as well. So just letting you know where this all ends up eventually. If you let your debt get out of hand, if you let inflation get out of hand, we all knew it was over when there was a big shipment of gold that went across the pond. A big chunk of it went to somewhere in Switzerland. A big chunk of it went to Germany for some reason. I don't understand the macroeconomics behind that. But when you're running out of gold and you're down to $3 billion in foreign currencies and no one will take your money, we're about to watch this whole merry-go-round come to a grinding halt. Just documenting horrible fiscal planning at the state level. Now, this one does affect our pocketbook. This is my other foreign policy financial story. Cemex. Are you familiar with this company? It's out of Mexico. Their full name is Cemex Concretos. They make concrete. Why is that funny? Because I said it with the Mexican accent?
Yeah.
One day I'm going to surprise you. You know, they were asked if they'd be willing to supply cement for Donald Trump's promised border wall between Mexico and the United States. CEMEX President Rogelio Zambrano told the local paper, "We will gladly do it." And I think he said it in English, just on top of that, insult into injury. So isn't that great? I mean, you would think, you know, this wall is so insulting to Mexico, and Mexico is going to pay for it. But if you're a cement company, wouldn't you be like, yeah, you know, we're not going to build the wall, but I'll gladly mix together some cement and go set it over here, and whatever they do with it after they hand me my money, that's up to them.
I don't know. Here's what I'm thinking is, look, was it the French, believe it was, back in 1792, you know, kill the king, kill Marie Antoinette. They weren't doing too good.
Oh, the French Revolution, right.
Yeah, they just weren't doing too good. And I'd say this Venezuela thing is much worse than what they were doing back in the late 1700s.
Well, it's funny you compare those two, because they're actually almost identical in political ideology. It's the same thing. They wanted social programs. They were against the evil 1%. They didn't like how there was this one rich elite class, and then the common folk had a different standard of living. That's exactly how Hugo Chavez got into power. It just ended up with, man, we're lopping off heads so fast, we need to invent some sort of machine to lop off heads faster. That's how the guillotine got invented, that French Revolution you're talking about.
Well, Chavez pretended to be mainstream at the time he was elected, and then once he was elected, he just changed everything. Like, Bernie is coming up, you know, he's, I'm going to follow Trump. I'm Republican now. And then he goes in and changes everything. That would be kind of, I think that's where it goes. But it's just like, did the people just tolerate this, to not having food in grocery stores? No gasoline? No money?
Yeah, who is fighting against everyone? You know, most
the
of the country.
Toy companies get it all confiscated because they're trying to make a profit, and the government gives out all the toys. Yeah, evil toy company. Remember that at Christmas?
Yes, the evil
toys were all confiscated.
They stole Christmas presents from kids, from children. Beautiful, beautiful way you've decided to plan your statecraft. That's gorgeous. Really appreciate that. All right. We are less than 2 weeks away from our next Gregory Ricks live event. Anything different coming up this time around, Gregory?
Things are different right now than the last one. We, you know, the Trump train's rolling, and we need to talk about how do we take advantage of that going forward. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We're going to talk about it on Saturday's show. We'll be talking about it at the event. I'm probably, you know, it'll be worth coming to attending, worth attending.
Well, we had talked about on the show last week and at the beginning of this week, man, it may be time to not go all in on the market, but, you know, I've been about 30% in, been very happy with what that 30%'s done this year so far. But my 70% out, you know, I actually out conservative view on this. You're starting to move a little bit more in the market. I missed a big rally here, didn't I? Time for me to get more in, like 50-50 in at least?
Oh, you should be at least 50% in my opinion. I'm 50% in personally, and that's what we're recommending as far as clients, to increase that percent. We're not talking about getting 100% in. But you know what? We've been at record rare air levels for a while. And what happens? We just keep going higher, and we can still breathe. This market's going further.
All right. Well, that's
this. Is just today was just a little pullback after a crazy upside yesterday. I'm waiting for this next joint Congress meeting. I sent him a tweet. Let's do one next week.
Oh, you want another big bounce in the market?
Yeah.
Oh, my phone's over there. We didn't do the numbers, Gregory. We only got like a minute to do the numbers.
Okay, let me jump on here on the main numbers. We can get that for you real quick.
Red.
The Dow was off 112.5 points, 0.53%. It closed at 21,002.97. Hung in there. The S&P, 2,381.92. It was off about 0.59%. NASDAQ off 0.73%, 5,861.22.
All right. Yeah, we still got a little time here. A lot of red on my short sheet here. Couple of exceptions to the rule.
Can I point out something to you? With that said, yeah, we had a down day, but the VIX is at 11.81, off 5.82%. So fear has dropped, even though the market dropped.
You know, you're watching Under Armour. It was up over 2% today. It may be on that rebound swing. That may be a buy.
Oh, that VAT tax scares me on retail.
All right, we'll pick this up tomorrow. I'm James Parker, your home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. This has been Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Have a good one.
Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.